like to acknowledge my colleague, Laura Baybridge, who's here with us today, and then Dr. Mark Littman, who is head of the IMPACT program and professor of urology and public health at UCLA. Notifications out of the way, this study was funded by the California Program on Access to Care, which is through the University of California, California Positive Research Center. So I'm going to walk you very quickly, for those of you who are not familiar with prostate cancer, a quick little prostate cancer 101, a little background of how I came to this project, California Safety Net, just an overview of that, my key findings from my study, and then policy implications for the state. Okay. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in men. To give you an idea, there will be about 285,000 men who will be diagnosed with prostate cancer throughout the United States in 2008. It accounts for about 30% of all cancers in men. And in California, it accounts for about 12% of all cancers for men. And there will be about 27,000 cases diagnosed this year alone in California. In terms of screening, really they're looking at having a simple blood test, which is a prostate-specific antigen test, and then a digital rectal exam. Those are the two things that are recommended starting at the age of 50, unless you have a family history, which then you start a little bit earlier than that. Treatment is performed by very highly specialized physicians, urologists, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, and it's extremely expensive. The first year of treatment alone can cost up to $30,000. And these are all things I want you to keep in mind as I proceed through my presentation. And then in terms of follow-up treatment, just as with any cancer, we want follow-up at least for the next 5 years with visits to their primary care physician or urologist for every 6 months, just for testing to monitor their PSA, to make sure that it's not rising, and to address any symptom management that they might have. Prostate cancer treatment, all forms of it, have some very serious side effects that come with it, most commonly incontinence and impotence. Okay, so the IMPACT program is California's public program. It's publicly funded that provides free prostate cancer treatment to low-income, uninsured men, 200% of federal poverty level. The program is statewide. It has approximately 700 providers that treat men in the program in their communities. It's administered through UCLA. And since this program started, really there has been an ongoing debate about whether there is a need for the program, despite the fact that in California, twice as many men are dying of prostate cancer than women are dying of breast cancer. It is 2-to-1. And in terms of funding, the breast cancer program gets, this year alone, will get $41 million from the general fund. The prostate cancer program gets about $3.5 million. So you can see where resources are being allocated. So my question was, if you're saying you don't need this program, really are the current county and state-level safety net programs sufficient to meet the needs of your program? Let's really take a look at what's out there for these men and see if they can get what they need without this program. So I think we're all very familiar with different barriers to healthcare. And, there is a lot of factors beyond health insurance that affect access. And these are just a few of them. And with low-income men with prostate cancer, we find that even with access to care, they have poorer outcomes than higher-income men. So we need to take that into consideration, too. So in terms of the men seeking care through the IMPACT program, they basically hit all of the access barriers they're presented with. They have to be low-income, 200% of federal poverty level, and just to give you an idea of that, for a family of four in California for a monthly income, that's about just over $1,700 a month. The average income of men in the IMPACT program is $673 a month. Okay, minority status is a huge issue in terms of access. 80% of the men enrolled in IMPACT are minorities. 51% Hispanic, they're the majority population being served by the program. In terms of education level, 53% of the men in the program do not have a high school diploma, And 41% of these men have not graduated from grade school. They don't have even a grade school education. And in terms of language barriers, 45% of the men in the IMPACT program do require some translation assistance. Their primary language is not English. So what is available to these men? So they do have programs on a county and statewide level. So in California, under California law, counties are the primary providers of health care. They are the safety net. And there's two programs that make up this. There's the County Medical Services Program, which is mostly the rural counties in California. There's 34 rural counties, and it's administered through Blue Cross. And then we have the Medical Indigent Services Program, and this is mostly in urban counties. And it's funded through a variety of sources, the automobile tax, and different licensing fees. For the County Medical Services Program, they have to commit a certain percentage of their county funding, and then they get state matching dollars to run that program. Funding is limited for these programs. It doesn't cover the costs of all treatment needed, and so the counties have a lot of say in what services they provide, what their eligibility requirements are, and who's being served. In terms of Medi-Cal, which is California's Medicaid program, this is primarily providing primary, acute, and long-term coverage for about 6.5 million Californians right now, mostly men and women. In California, there's one man enrolled in Medi-Cal for every six women and children, so they aren't getting into that program either. So I wanted to just give you an idea of some of the eligibility requirements for the Medical Indigent Services Program. And particularly, I want to point out the income level. As you can see, they have a very different income level in Tulare, which is primarily rural, versus San Diego, which you're all familiar, is a very urban county. Also, I want you to look at length of enrollment. San Diego is 1 month, Tulare is 2 months. So they're having to renew their application to these programs on a monthly or every 2 months. So if you're in the middle of cancer treatment, prostate cancer treatment, you're in radiation therapy, which is 40 days in a row, you're having to go renew in the middle of your treatment. And what if they don't renew your eligibility? What are you going to do then? And then I also want to point out the income-based share of costs. In Tulare, they do actually do a sliding scale where, depending on your income, even at 275% of federal poverty level, you will be paying a share of costs. And they also have a policy where they will put a lien on your property in Tulare to guarantee that you will eventually pay them back for the medical care that they have provided to you. And so we did a little bit of asset mapping, and I took a look at, and this is Tulare County, the C's are community clinics in the area serving the population. The small purple U's are urologists serving the area. You can see really there's only one urologist in Tulare County. Most of the time they're going to be traveling out to Fresno or Kings or even down to Los Angeles to get treatment. And then you have three hospitals in the area. So you've got now an added layer of transportation issues if this one urologist isn't willing to see you, or if you're living on the far end of the county as well, Tardenio. In San Diego, you can see there's a lot more resources out there. But I argue that they're still not getting the access to care that they need. So in terms of Medi-Cal in California for men is extremely difficult for them to get. And to give you an idea, Medi-Cal is a huge business in California. They spend $40 billion annually on Medi-Cal in California. And it's meant to serve families, children, people with disabilities, and individuals, seniors over 65. But really for men, it's a very difficult process to get in. And when you have prostate cancer, you don't want to wait a year to show that you can't work. And most men continue to work, particularly those being served by the IMPACT program. They're working through the illness. They're working through their treatment. They're the sole providers for their families. They can't afford to stop working for a year. And typically by the time you're disabled by prostate cancer, you have metastatic cancer and you are dying. So there's definitely an issue with how men are getting services through the state program. So the county system and the state level system, instead of reducing barriers to access for these men, they are actually perpetuating the barriers. As you saw, we have enrollment every month, every 2 months. It can be limited. We had a physician who did a study. She's from the School of Public Policy at UCLA, who just did a brief interview with urologists in California to see if they were accepting Medi-Cal patients. And she found that only 24% of Medi-Cal urologists who accepted Medi-Cal patients were actually still accepting those patients. So even if you get into Medi-Cal, you're not going to be able to get access to the specialist that you need. With the MISP program, you know, it can be an average of 4 months to process your application. And I don't know about you, but anybody with cancer is going to want a little more quicker action than that. You can go and apply in person, but oftentimes it can be up to an 8-hour wait just to get in and have an appointment time. So we're really perpetuating the barriers there in terms of these safety nets. And our population that's being served by the IMPACT program just simply isn't going to put up with these barriers. They're going to wait until they're so sick that they present in an emergency room. And then oftentimes, since prostate cancer doesn't have symptoms until it's too late, they're going to be dying of their disease. So what I really found was that the healthcare safety net is fragmented. While we know it can make an enormous difference to the people who are caught by it, you know, the men being served by IMPACT aren't being caught by it. And this is almost a safety net program for the safety net. We know that there's barriers. There's nothing new to that. But there seems to be this belief by legislators and by the American public that we have health care and that it's available for everyone and they can get in and they can get access and get the treatment they need. But we can see time and time again that this is not the case. And really, the IMPACT program is filling a gap. It's filling a need in the state. And, you know, it's on two separate occasions they have tried to close the program. And fortunately, we had a very strong advocacy arm. We had over 120 support groups who banded together, along with a lot of other organizations who believe in what IMPACT did, to save this program. We had legislation passed, headed by former Senator Deborah Ortiz from Sacramento, who was an amazing cancer advocate, to make the program permanent. But with that passage of SB 650, there were significant changes made from the program. There were the reimbursement rate to providers changed from a Medicare rate to a Medi-Cal rate. So now we're confronted with going back to these physicians and saying we're going to be paying you a lot less money. The budget decreased dramatically, but we're happy that we have a budget, and Governor Schwarzenegger has said that he will continue to fund us at the $3.5 million as long as he is governor. So we're happy to wait until we're a little bit fiscally more sound in the state, hopefully at some point soon, and then we can ask a little more money. But we need to also look at that there's some gender inequity going on in the state. You have more money going into the breast and cervical cancer treatment program, and part of that is because we have a federal program that matches dollars or provides more money to state to do that, $41 million to $3.5 million when more men are dying of it. And that's an issue of advocacy, and also breast cancer is a very supportable issue, and men aren't willing to talk about prostate cancer. They don't want to deal with it. But I think on a larger level, as we're addressing issues in the United States right now about what we're going to do about health care, we really need to look at these health care safety net systems. I have a feeling, you know, particularly with Governor Schwarzenegger's plan right now, is he wants to cover everyone, have everybody buy insurance, but is that going to prevent the access issues that we're having? If you're putting more people on the Medi-Cal rolls, the doctors aren't seeing Medi-Cal patients, you're making everybody feel great without everybody has health insurance, but they're still going to have the same problems. So these are some of the things I found in my program, and fortunately, you know, they've decided to support IMPACT and made us permanent, and hopefully they'll keep doing that and expand.